ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, it's Wednesday.
Steffi.
Oh, heavy breathing, I hear. Why? Could it be? Yes. Hump days with Hal Sparks. Good morning, Hal Sparks.
Hello.
You've already started mocking me. I guess he hasn't heard the news, has he,
why,
Chris?
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
Mocking me.
Why can't you treat me like I would be treated by any stranger on the street?
Already mocking me for my paper calendar. Why, Chris? Why must I be treated with the respect that I've become entitled to?
Because you have been named Woman of the Year by Talkers Magazine.
Thank you.
Wow. There is a benefit to being the only woman in talk radio.
Shut up, Hal Sparks.
Well, Randy Rhodes, I think, would take
there's
exception
three
to
of
that.
Us.
That and hasn't already received the award three times.
Yes
okay.
Laura Ingraham and Randy Rhodes already won it, so
exactly
of course I'm
right.
going to win it. I'm the last.
I'm the woman in line next.
Why did I know that you would not give me any more respect?
Why did they not just... when they gave out the award this year, did they yell, now serving B-42?
Just like at the DMV.
Yeah, like a deli number.
Perhaps you haven't read the press
release.
Miller is a longtime respected broadcaster. You see,
what?
It says right there.
Respected?
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
And this Miller's not a longtime respected... Oh,
who
that's
respects
right,
you?
You are, right.
I hate both of you.
I have a tremendous amount of respect for you, and it has nothing to do with Talkers Magazine.
That's to do with me sexually harassing you
exactly.
every time you come in.
Yes, and I mean, I think that shows taste and breeding on your
thank
part.
Thank you.
Quite
my,
frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And my previous boss won last year.
Aww. Yes, Lori Cantillo, the program director of WABC, will present the
that's
award
right.
to Mama. Yes, all right. So we're very, very excited. And we apologize on behalf of the Stephanie Miller Show and Hal Sparks to Michael Harrison for maligning his wonderful award that he's giving to me.
Pull the other one.
All right.
I think it's wonderful that he did that, and I hope one day to get the same award myself.
Pick it up as... And furthermore, Hal Sparks,
one of these days I'm going to get it. All right.
Ruth
do you
Gordon.
Dare me to
Ruth
accept
Gordon.
It as Ruth Gordon?
Yes,
woman
absolutely.
Of the year.
Can I request that Hal Gordon, or that Hal Sparks present right, it to me right. as Ruth Gordon?
One of these days somebody's going to get something that's worthwhile. She's a woman. She's got everything you need.
Okay, thank you, Hal Sparks. By the way, we are at ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller and also video streaming at halsparks.com.
Right. We are
dueling
Ustreams. Right.
We're going to get this worked out.
Yes. We have some bugs. We're just working out. Too many cameras for a woman of my age.
And this is where I have to announce the final episodes of Hump Days with Hal.
No, you do not.
No longer necessary to the...
You do not.
I have dragged Stephanie Miller into...
They will pull you from my cold, dead, bloody hands.
Into the modern era, kicking and screaming.
Into 1998.
As soon as I get her off a paper calendar, I will no longer... They'll put me on an ice floe.
We're trying to see if we can do a thing together, and he mocked me.
Well, that's because you left your paper calendar at home.
Because he said, as soon as I get out of this program, I'll check my... And I said, don't you wish you had a paper calendar now?
And then I went, oh, no, never mind. I can just look at my iPad.
Oh, here it is. It's
or
on
your
my iPad. Thing.
Or your
look
iPhone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then if somebody wants to change a date, they can just email me, and it pops right up in my
and then he yeah. mocked me further by saying, do you mind? Because I was saying I have an email regarding the thing we're supposed to do, and he said, does that pop up automatically on your paper calendar?
No, no, not so much. But keep licking your pen and trying to...
One of your fans!
Keep licking the tip of your pen trying to get it to write on glossy cat calendar paper.
It's a puppy calendar!
Right, sorry.
All right.
You're
speaking
a crazy
of animals,
puppy lady, I forgot. That's
speaking
different.
Of animals, Hal Sparks, who are your comedy heroes, other than me, of course?
Well, George Carlin, primarily.
Yes.
A huge Bill Hicks fan. We're big fans of the late, great Mitch Hedberg. We love.
My whole point in asking, of course, was to make this about me.
Oh.
I have an email in my inbox from Lily Tomlin. Mike.
Oh, that's pretty spectacular.
Yes.
I agree.
Well, so when Lily Tomlin says something I said on the show is funny, that's better than the
that's
Woman of
win.
The Year award.
Absolutely. I agree.
I agree.
Do you know what tickled her?
What?
Mm. That, well, Hal, you know, there's a lot of talk about the fact that we don't make anything here in the U.S. anymore, and we determined that we do. Somebody in West Virginia makes tiny marmoset clothes. Because, yes, and Lily wrote, I meant to write you yesterday, oh, no, we don't make regular-sized monkey clothes here. Love, Lily. Because the woman that carried a marmoset to court in her bra explained to the judge, I'm not sure why it was relevant, that she had
the marmoset once you have a marmoset
clothes.
In your...
Yeah, especially made in West Virginia.
Apparently it's a thing. There are websites devoted to marmoset moms and dads.
Well, and that is a pretty little frock. Have you seen the? Did you put it? Did you post it? I sent you the picture of the marmoset. I'll send it again.
Okay.
Huh.
It said marmoset in the pink and white dress is pictured.
Oh. Aww. That's all worthy. Did she have an over the shoulder marmoset holder? Is that what she was wearing into court?
No. Oh. It was in her bra.
That's what I mean.
It was the size of a palm. It was a baby marmoset. It was a tiny marmoset.
Well, it would have had to be.
And I'm just saying that
suffocate.
In this economy, you got to hand it to those people. That is a niche.
Well, that's not the only thing we make. We also make diabetes testing.
Do you have chimpanzee clothes?
Computer says no.
What I told you once, we only have tiny marmoset clothes.
Right.
I just picture them stitching away.
Oh, absolutely. In a South Carolina sweatshop.
No, not West Virginia. Pay attention.
I know, but that's where they're sold. That doesn't mean that's where they're made.
No, it's where they're made. She has them specially made.
Oh, wow. You'd have to, wouldn't you?
How would you like to be a marmoset tailor?
Oh, yeah.
You have to take the measurements.
I'm going blind. How small can these things be?
How small can I make it?
Can't they gain weight? I'm losing my mind.
Okay. All right. Oh, here's another example of how cool I am. Guess who else in my inbox? Valerie Plame, who will be coming on the show.
That's spectacular.
Tomorrow or Friday. Knows a little something about nuclear.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
All right. So we have another big show lined up. We have investigative journalist Greg Palace. Who's going to scare the bejesus out of all of us about nuclear power?
Oh, man.
Representative Elliot Engel, Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, as is Hal Sparks. Mm. Oh, also, speaking of great comedy appearances, Hal will be appearing
at the Hilton next week in Vegas. I'm actually a part of the Icons of Comedy series.
Well, aren't you something?
Just saying.
Because you are an icon.
I agree.
You know what it is? It's the dueling stream. See, I'm like, I'm woman of the year. I'm part of...
I'm one of the icons of comedy. Of course, right. To be an icon, all you need is somebody to use your picture on Twitter.
Yeah.
Someone's hard drive icon. I'm sure that's true.
All right. That could be an overused phrase, much like woman of the year.
Exactly. Right. Well,
Lily Tomlin, icon. You? Really funny.
Yeah,
but
thanks.
You're kind of young to be an icon, aren't you?
Well, I don't know. I've carved a niche for myself fairly quickly. Thank you very much. I'm the only gay adjacent comedian out there. You're welcome.
Please and thank you.
Yeah, right. And I think you deserve Woman of the Year from multiple magazines.
Thank you, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for immediately pointing out that I'm the only woman left. Okay.
Well.
By the way, David Bender, who is my L.A. house husband,
right.
He is...
Who tell him hello, because he keeps calling me while I'm riding my motorcycle, and he's like, why don't you call me back? And I'm like, because I need both hands not to die.
That's like that commercial where they try to get the guy to do the report when he's on the Ducati.
The Ducati, yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Al, I want to talk to you about.
I can't do it right now. The road is kind of bumpy. I can't take one hand off the handlebars.
Anyway, he's, I was joking that he's in my fluffy robe.
Yes.
He actually is in my fluffy robe. He likes my fluffy robe. I came home yesterday and he was in my fluffy robe.
That's not surprising.
Did he put on your sushi pajamas?
No.
No?
What?
Those are only for Mama.
She wears sushi pajamas.
Well, I have lots of. I have dog pajamas. I have sushi pajamas. I got peace symbol pajamas. What do you need?
I only saw the dog ones.
I have dog Christmas pajamas. I have any number of dog pajamas.
You lived with me. Well, no, in New York, you didn't wear those around the house. You wore that kind of thong strap thing.
Well, you're straight. David's gay. I had to tart it up a little for you.
The electrical tape. That thing. That was awesome. The kind of
otherwise, David and I have a perfect marriage. There's no sex usually, when I'm told.
Isn't that most marriages after 20 years?
Yes, there's no sex. We drink a lot of wine together. He's smart. He's funny. He's tall. I love him. My hair has never looked better.
And he's got
this is what they meant by gay marriage.
What, does he sit there and brush it for you?
Yes. Yes. Like Rapunzel.
Right.
Yeah, and he's gotten you to eat better than a, you know, than a teenage
yes,
boy.
Yes, I'm making Cornish game hens for us tonight. I've turned into...
I told you, you coming out of the closet into, is the most blossoming thing I've ever seen in a human being's life ever. It's like a kid going off to college for the first time. Like, I could cook for myself and live on my own. It's amazing. I'm just very happy for you.
I know. This is what I've learned is I turn all girly and caretaky when I have a man around. I'm Betty Crocker now.
Right.
I get all nervous. I was like checking them this morning like, oh, are they defrosted enough? I need to have dinner on the table.
Start poking things with a fork. It's a completely different experience.
Yes. All right. Oh.
By the way, I just posted your marmoset in a dress up on your Facebook page.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. Enjoy. So. It's cute. Oh.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's weirder than it is cute. Oh,
yeah.
That's going to be the next thing, as you know, in my Norma Desmond descent. Is I will
You're
get
gonna
a, monkey.
A monkey funeral.
I will get a monkey, and then there will be a monkey funeral eventually. Yeah. I already broke David's car, and I'm making him write something with me. He's going to be face down in the pool. That's how it's going to end.
It's following the plot of Sunset Boulevard exactly.
She comes in and goes, I can do anything with my eyes.
Hey, check that out on Ustream, and by that I mean the Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Oh, snap. Actually, you can't see it there because I'm hiding mine.
All right.
You're hiding behind the Chiron.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
My smart, funny, tall husband writes, Steph, if people don't need it because some people are buying Geiger counters.
Yep.
We were talking about
I've
Julie's.
Seen that.
Yeah, Julie's husband up in Seattle. He said they. We had Sanjay Gupta on yesterday. He said they need what Sanjay carries around, a portable dosimeter, the new party favor for Hollywood dinner parties.
Totally.
You're going to have to give those out now at Hollywood dinner parties. It's a dosimeter. That's what you really need, not a Geiger counter.
Oh, Sanjay.
Will you get those in gift baskets from the Emmys or something?
Yes, now you will. They're about $175, David says. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, designer gas masks. It's going to be all the rage. You watch.
Oi.
Yeah. All right. Beth in Minneapolis writes, Steph, while I've been against nuclear power since Three Mile Island and the China Syndrome, and I have corresponded with anti-nuclear activist pediatrician Dr. Helen Caldicott,
She's
so
good.
Does Lily. Everyone was pestering Lily this weekend.
Right.
What did Dr. Caldicott say? Yeah. What did she say? Because you remember,
don't take the iodine tablets before you actually have exposure.
Yes,
it's bad for you, and it lowers your ability to for it to help you later. So,
right.
Yeah.
Anyway, Beth says I think we should try to remain calm until we know the final extent of the problem in Japan. Well, we will until about a half an hour when Greg Palast comes on, and then we'll. And then we'll all panic.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, you know, never pass up an opportunity to panic in this day and age. I mean,
being from Hollywood here like I am, I have to say, we do kind of always make it about us. That was all the talk about how is this going to affect L.A. Like, after 9/11, I remember hearing, like, all the studios were on lockdown. Like, the next target would be the set of Punky Brewster.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Was Punky Brewster still shooting episodes?
No, it was not. It was not.
Back then.
I'm trying to make a reference
from 2001. What was shooting in 2001?
Soleil Moon Frye had her breast reduction by then. Punky Brewster was not shooting.
Right. And P.S., everything that was shooting at that time
was
being shot in
Vancouver,
Toronto.
See, that is the disadvantage of a paper calendar. See, if I were online, I could have just Googled what was on the air then.
Sure.
But instead, I'm going back in my calendar. Oh.
Like the
Ducati commercial.
What was on the air?
What was on the air in 2001?
The last time I watched television
was
1984.
Get me a reference. I'm firing my entire staff of writers for that reference. We don't have any. All right.
Soleil Moon Frye is on. She was just the last time you saw her. She just had her breast reduction surgery. She was like,
at least you could have
Entertainment Tonight 2001 talking about that.
Brought it into the 90s by referencing Blossom or something.
Sure, sure.
Okay, let's go in the way back machine. Yeah, like the next target is going to be the set of Blossom. Oh, see how that worked a lot better.
Oh, that's close.
I sense it's going to be lots of tension, not just the usual sexual kind, but a little competitive Ustream tension all morning with Hal and I.
No, that's it. No, it's just,
I think we're going to have sex live on
as
camera.
As a representative from television, yes, that I agree with.
Yes, well, on camera, but by that I mean Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Or, HalSparks.com/Ustream, which is way easier to write.
It's way easier to type, too.
Yeah, if you actually go to HalSparks.com, it comes up on the front page.
20 minutes.
One click away.
We're working on that.
Keep working on it. Nice
20 minutes after the hour, right back on Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show. In the meantime, kids, you know, this just seems seamless, this first segment.
What?
However, it was all put together in a GoToMeeting yesterday. Meeting's an essential part of any business, but who wants to leave their house? I don't. Norma Desmond never leaves her house. Mm-hmm. I use GoToMeeting by Citrix. You can schedule an online meeting in seconds. Attendees can join with just one click from anywhere. So easy to use. It's for you and anyone joining your meeting. Everyone can automatically see the same desktop at the same time. It's like magic.
Whoa.
Particularly for someone that uses paper calendars.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, ooh, it's Chris's desktop. How did that happen?
Is there a GoToMeeting app for your paper calendar?
Just turn
like
the,
there is for my iPad?
Just turn the video camera on it.
Is there a Make Hal Stop Talking app on that?
Oh, snap.
On that microphone?
I was just trying to be helpful, because GoToMeeting does have a very useful iPad and iPhone app.
It really does.
They do. That's how. Well, how else would we get him? He's always on his motorcycle,
for God's
sakes.
I was actually contributing to the ad.
Thank you, sweetheart. I love you.
You certainly am a jerk. Great.
My listeners.
Oh.
No, sorry.
Chris, can you finish this while I go spoon with Hal?
Right.
My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free if you use the promo code Stephanie. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click
Clom.
On the... Clom? He makes me nervous.
It's a little harder to spell, too.
Click on the try free button.
C-L-A-U-M.
Enter the promo code Stephanie. GoToMeeting.com. Promo code Stephanie.
Yes.
Oh, I'm exhausted.
See how
20,
hard it is.
21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Do Ruth Gordon doing Prince.
Shut up!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
He's like, what do you want to do that dance around in your fall down pants?
With the Snoopy Snoopy poop dog.
He's like my comedy marmoset.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
I love him so much. Hal Sparks.
Just put a dress on him.
You can actually hurt yourself doing both of those at the same time. I could choke myself to death.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Back to me, Paul in Omaha, Nebraska. Good morning, Paul.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to congratulate you.
Yes.
Since it was apparently your turn to be the female talker
of the year.
I guess this makes you the Bob Dole of female talk radio hosts.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I am an also-ran. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I'm no Randy Rhodes, but I'm the best I can do.
Randy Rhodes has been woman of the year, hasn't she?
Of course she has.
Yeah.
All right.
Her mantle got full, and they just went, oh. Yeah.
I just texted her yesterday at my usual salutation, hey, hoa.
Oh.
Because I'm going to be in D.C. next week on vacation. I'm like, hey, hoa.
Oh, are you?
How about a three-way with me, you, me, and the Howard?
Right. Feynman?
I have a space on my paper calendar for that.
Oh, nice.
Haven't heard back yet.
Really? Is it already pre-printed? Three-way with Howard Feynman. Randy Rose.
It's not Howard Feynman. It's Howard. Randy's Howard.
Oh, that
it's
Howard.
The
right.
Howard.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. He is dreamy. He is. Okay. You know, this is a... Chris, I'm just saying. I don't know if this headline's about you. Man arrested for stealing bag of dildos from his boss. It's just not a story that you see every day.
Oh, dear.
Well, I should hope not. Can you imagine all the... dildo shuffling that would be going on out there?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mitchell Tice, a resident of Florida, was arrested for breaking into his boss's storage locker and stealing two laptops, a wig, and a bag full of dildos.
What kind of online life does that guy have? I want to watch his Ustream. I'm just saying.
What kind of boss keeps that kind of thing at work? Besides you.
What's with the wig? That was my most important.
Look out!
We used to work in a room full of dildos.
On. There are a lot of scenarios where a laptop, a wig, and a bag of dildos are actually the cornerstone of a small internet empire. There are people who make a fine living that
way.
Sure.
So
Chris
I'm not
knows
one of them.
Then
but
better than to touch my wig or my bag of dildos. Okay.
Where's today's show going?
I don't know.
Is it going straight in the trash can?
That makes me all, you know.
Yeah, it's my fault.
All right.
I blame me.
29 minutes after the hour, we will be back on all the latest from Japan and Greg Palast coming up in just a few minutes on the Stephanie
Very
Miller Show.
Exciting.
Hey, lovely.
Stephanie Miller.
For someone who's not even in our club, you got some brass boobs coming in here and telling us what to do.
By the way, thank you, people in the Hal Hughes stream. They said a nice shirt. They'd like to talk me out of it. No, you little sluts. Look at you. Sluts. Look at you. Sluts in the Hughes stream.
Slut. She's a slut. Look at her, slut.
And you got to watch Hal and I do our Snoopy dances to that.
Yeah.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Promo code is Stephanie. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I misspoke. You'll have to wait till next hour for Greg Palast to scare the bejesus out of us.
Mm-hmm.
Not this hour. Next hour.
That's what we call a tease in the biz.
And,
yes.
And why would he be is he going to be talking about the fact that Japan is on the verge of genuinely taking the award away, as it were, from Chernobyl. As the worst nuclear disaster? And meanwhile, I think Bill Press played it. There's a little mashup going around of all the Republicans who went, "What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Nuclear power is completely safe." And John McCain literally going, "Yeah, it's got to be safe, environmental, blah, blah, blah." Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great. Well,
yeah.
Well said. It's spoken like a true adult who needs a diaper.
Yeah. The by the way, the operator of the stricken nuclear plant there says a fire has broken out again at the number 4 reactor unit, the outer housing of the reactor's containment vessel. I've learned more than I ever needed to know about all of this. On Tuesday, a fire broke out in the reactor's fuel storage pond, an area where nuclear fuel is kept cool, using causing radioactivity to be released into the atmosphere.
Yeah,
so
they put it on the top floor. They move the stuff from the...
Well, I mean, I think the operative thing is this was built to withstand a 7 earthquake, and a 9 is about a billion times more than that.
Right, and in an area that had already been hit by a 7.9 before.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was hit by a tsunami, which wiped out all of the backup generators.
Exactly. Yeah.
I got to tell you, one thing that we talked to George Takei yesterday.
The
character and spirit of the Japanese people, to me,
is amazing.
And these heroes that have volunteered to stay. Would you do that? Would you volunteer to stay? And, do you know what a death from radiation is like? I mean, these people that have, plant workers that have elected to stay and try to, they're saying it's part of the Japanese character. I keep telling this story, and there's a million of them, but this old woman that something fell on her and she's laying there with a broken ankle, and they got there and she goes, "Oh, isn't there someone else that you should be helping first?"
The amazing patience of recognizing that even in a major tragedy like that, they just kind of take that extra moment to think not just about themselves but about other people.
Yeah.
And go and recognize that everyone who's trying to help them might be doing the best that they can.
Yeah.
And
freak out if it bottlenecks, you know, the 101 going to downtown. It's like, it always bottlenecks there. It's going to be fine. Stop freaking out.
Yeah. I agree.
Yes.
It is impressive, and you know, a lot of people know that I ride for Honda motorcycles and stuff, and I like right after that, many of the people here they have a place in Torrance. Their big American plant is down there, and they have so many friends and family members who've been affected by this, and just sweet people, and everybody's just taking their time trying to. You know, it's like they're not even jamming their phones. If the phone's busy, they hang up and wait because they're trying. They know other people are talking to their relatives.
Yeah, I know. Unbelievable. All right, Dave in Minneapolis. It's hard to stay off the subject of marmosets for long. Hello, Dave.
Really?
I know, and I really feel trite for even bringing this up after that conversation. Thank you for being my buzzkill. But anyway, did you? You talk about. There's two things actually I want to mention. That first of all, that there are Barbie and Ken clothes that are knit and don't fit to dolls at every crappy craft show. So we're making something besides marmoset outfits.
Yeah, well, that's
Ken and Barbie outfits.
That's true.
Great.
I don't, it depends on your marmoset's figure, whether it would fit in a Barbie outfit, I think.
Whether it has a darling figure or a fat figure.
And more like Midge or the other, or the heftier
friend.
Are you
thinking about getting a marmoset?
I think I am.
Should I warn David Bender, your house
Your
husband?
Dogs will eat a marmoset. Don't get a marmoset.
Jose in Oakland on bags of dildos, which is even more important at this point than marmosets. Hello, Jose.
I say I found a half a gram of coke on my boss's desk. She left to work once, but I never quite found anything like that.
Oh,
dear.
I I wonder what we would find in the Republican.
And did you call him immediately and say, "Hey, I found your blow. What did you do with?"
I said, "Hey, did you leave something at work last night?" She said, "Oh my God, you know, did you know your coworker fired?" I said, "No." So I kind of had some blackmail material on for a minute there, but
awesome.
I'm just wondering what we would find in the desk to say, "Oh, you know, the governor of Michigan and Wisconsin." I mean,
one can only wonder what they're doing collectively to the people of Wisconsin and Michigan.
I wish Stephanie would leave her blow on the counter.
Yeah, what?
Tim
and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
You guys.
The only thing we find in the desk of the governor of Wisconsin would be the contract with Satan that he made.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I've been watching what he's been doing, and I think Satan would almost shrug that off. I'd be like, dude, you're going way too far down that road for me. I still got to be friends with God so we can place the occasional bet.
Maybe, Tim, the bag full of dildos that the Koch brothers used on him. Oh, well, never mind.
That would be a fun little video to see.
All right, go ahead.
Wow.
You know, congratulations on getting nominated or winning the Female Talker of the Year.
I'd not just been nominated, I won.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an honor to be nominated. It sucks unless you win.
Oh, that's true.
That's the spirit.
And I was just wondering, since you are some of the most funniest people I listen to on a daily basis.
And with the most bestest grammar, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, I don't have any grammar, so we'll just ignore that.
All right,
that.
Tim, I kid.
Wisconsin, we make our own. did anyone see the roast of Donald Trump last night?
Oh, no, I missed it. On Comedy Central?
Let's just say I have sperm funnier than the situation.
Yeah, I heard he bombed big time. Yeah. Did he actually make it in?
Yeah, I heard they were going to cut his bit out.
It was all in, and Jeff Ross actually came up and just said, I can't remember the exact word, but basically, you suck.
Right. Yeah.
It was great.
All right.
Everyone should watch it. It was the best thing I think I've seen on a roast in a long time.
I bet the ratings were huge.
The best line was from Snoop Dogg, because he mentioned that, you know, Trump will be running, wants to run for president, but it won't be the first time he's pushed a black family out of their house. Or tried to push a black family, yeah.
All right. Stephen Chu, U.S. Energy Secretary, on the tragedy in Japan.
I mean, it was a combination of, the fourth largest recorded earthquake in history in the near vicinity, plus a 30-foot high tsunami that took a lot of the auxiliary equipment. And I think it's that combination of things that has caused this. And again, quite frankly, we have to plan for those combination events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should have been planning for them before.
Well, I mean, you know, Greg Palast has done a lot of investigative journalism on this, and it is a little frightening that, you know, in some ways we do have better safety standards in place, but in other ways you kind of go, okay, we keep talking about the one here is near fault.
Of course.
Like, how can you guarantee the one, I think I called it El Diablo yesterday. I meant Diablo Canyon.
Yes.
That's entirely different.
Yes.
Well, not quite. It's just
if it melts down, it goes.
No, then it is El Diablo.
Yeah.
But I think they were saying that one actually is closer to a fault and, you know, where would be more prone to a tsunami, you mm-hmm. know, if there is a quake of that size. So,
especially the one south of Los Angeles between here and San Diego.
San Onofre.
Yes, San Onofre. That's at a water level where a tsunami would actually affect it.
That's what you were saying about, you know, you've got Mitch McLiplis, among others, just going, you know, what did it happen in Japan have to do with here?
Right.
Yeah, what could it that's crazy. What could it possibly have to do that we have?
I'll go out on a limb and say, why don't you watch, like, the National Geographic or Discovery one of these days when they do their umpteen what could destroy us all in the future specials that they run ad nauseum, including
Zoink.
One about mega volcanoes, which we have the potential for three of
Yellowstone.
Them. United States, including Yellowstone, Mount St. Helens going, you know, and
one erupted, I think, immediately after Bobby Jindal said volcano monitoring.
Who
Why
does
would
that?
We ever
right.
need money for
that's
what?
Just dumb.
Is that green screen behind me?
Right.
What?
So those could trigger earthquakes strong enough and big enough to undermine like the security measures at one of these nuclear facilities, especially if they're only set up to deal with a 7, and it ends up being a 7.5 or a 7.2,
right.
which was what we had in Los Angeles.
Yep. Stephen Chu again.
We look to what's the maximum size of that particular earthquake that geologists tell can ever happen, and we design considerably above that.
By the way, the skeleton crew of workers has now been evacuated from Fukushima.
Because of a fire.
Because of a fire there, and the radiation levels are too dangerously high. So even the 50 people who were staying behind to deal with this have been ordered to leave.
Yeah.
It's not good, kids. That stuff gets hot, so hot it's got to sit in water for 6 years cooling down before they can even bury it.
They were saying, I was reading about, you know, they're saying they're equipped with state-of-the-art gear designed to protect them, but not against this level.
No.
You know, I mean, they were saying radioactive particles can penetrate just about anything a human can wear, and from there can be readily absorbed into the skin or inhaled into the lungs, you know. So,
right.
And, I mean, the sort of tragic and touching thing about this is nobody would know this better than these guys that are volunteering to stay behind. I mean, you know, it's...
And notice it's not like the heads of TEPCO or GE.
No,
you know what
it's
I mean?
Not.
Nobody's, you know, it's not this...
It's the everyday unionized worker.
Exactly. Yes. The grunts who on the ground who aren't even the operators of the plant. These are the guys who know the hardcore day-to-day operation of it. But you never see like a, I'm going to go down with my ship kind of mentality when it goes to one of these, like, you know, one of the BP, like the BP guy didn't go, I'll go down and fly me, drop me in, right. I'll plug the leak myself. You know, I'll work the crew, you know, because it's too dangerous for my day-to-day workers.
I was never reading happened. The company... approached older plant retirees with a sobering invitation. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, thanks.
I have an exciting opportunity for you.
Yeah.
To reinforce the plant safety crew, plant managers may also be asking for people to volunteer, quote unquote, to receive additional exposure. I mean, it's, you know, as people keep pointing out the horrible irony of it being Japan, this particular article is saying the same thing. The workers' efforts are all the more striking in view of the stark legacy of mass exposure to nuclear radiation in Japanese history. During the 1945 atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, thousands of Japanese citizens died particularly horrific deaths due to acute radiation poisoning, and many blast survivors were stricken with various forms of cancer later in life. So, I mean, that's the other thing is the
long-lasting
knowing
effects.
That it's just going to be a matter of time, even if it's not immediate.
You'd hope that at some point we realize that there are two types of cost. There's cash and there's expense. There's literally what the damage done, the unclean water, the destroyed environment, those kind of things. We don't measure that, really.
No, we don't.
You know, we just measure, well, it's going to cost $1.2 billion to clean up this or $1.6 billion to clean up that. And we don't recognize that you can clean up, you could spend all that money and clean that part of it up, but the damage done outside of it, you'll never clean up.
Right.
It's interesting you made the Chernobyl comparison because a lot of people was the worst nuclear crisis the world has ever seen before this, but they are comparing these people. They're saying when Chernobyl melted down, a large number of the 176 workers on duty that evening were exposed to enormous doses of radiation, many of them dying within weeks of the disaster. So, it's, you know, that's the problem.
Is coming, too. We will be dealing with that fact over the next month or so. There will be people dying from the radiation they've received trying to stop that thing from blowing up.
Yeah, to save other people. Yeah.
So that whole thing doesn't go into the air and spread not just to the rest of Japan, but to to mainland China, to Hawaii, to the West Coast.
Well, it's
of America,
you know, it's that kind of mindset we talked about on 9/11 with these brave firemen and cops that, you know, what kind of mind does it take to rush into a burning building that you see crumbling, you know, rather than running out? I mean, it's just heartbreaking, these pictures. All right, 47 minutes after the hour, much more from Japan and elsewhere as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was fun like
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was making Cornish game hen with her gay husband at home?
Don't you?
In her robe.
Yeah.
I said yesterday that
playing with her marmoset.
That's a total gay marriage that she's got going on in her house right now.
Well, I've often said, and this joke was stolen from me by many different people, but all marriage is same sex because once you get married, it's the same sex for the rest of your life. Schmackety wackety
wacky. All right. Investigative journalist Greg Pettle is coming up next hour in hour number 3. Representative Elliot Engel and Representative John Yarmuth.
Mm-hmm.
So much more to come. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Troy in Chicago on Health Sparks. Hello, Troy.
Hey, could I be the official arborist of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Oh, please.
I wanted to ask Hal if you are more of a DC or Marvel guy.
Marvel, for a couple of reasons. One, I started out as a big Spider-Man fan when I was a kid, and of course I'm in Spider-Man 2, the movie, you know. But I found, in all deference to every other comic book company out there, that Marvel was the most supportive when on Queer as Folk when we wanted to use characters, because my character on Queer as Folk was a comic book geek. And we had to ask comic book companies if it was okay to get rights and clearance for them to put stuff up in the rooms. And Marvel was the most open and the most supportive. They didn't have any restrictions, whereas the other aforementioned company at the time was not so open. As a matter of fact, was directly sort of negative about it.
Wow.
In certain ways. I think they made up for it with Green Lantern later on in some ways.
Welcome to Geek Talk. It's very cute.
But Marvel was very supportive of the show and of the Michael character being a comic book geek that supported those characters. So I'm glad that was reinforced. My childhood love of Marvel Comics was supported by their social activism.
You go to what's the thing? Comic Con?
I used to.
Yeah.
And then I walk up the steps one year. Like, I haven't been to Comic Con in years. I'm gonna go down there this year. You know, so what if I'm on TV? Who gives crap? I'm just gonna walk around. Then I walk up the steps and go, oh crap! I was in Spider-Man 2. I forgot. I got chased around by crowds of nerds in chubby Spider-Man outfits, going, what's Spider-Man really like? Hey, what's Spider-Man really like?
Oh, boy.
Would you be my friend? You know Spider-Man. Can you give him a note?
You are precious. You are just...
But you know what? I'm sure that's exactly how they sounded. Yeah. Seriously.
I'm sorry I talked this way. If you overuse my inhaler, it makes me sound dry.
Okay. All right. Back to the subject of... what would Spider-Man do about this nuclear thing?
Spider-Man would... Okay. Here's what he would do. He would create a special form of web fluid that was that had a more of a lead base, and then he would go fly down there and he would spray more of it in a cocoon around the outside of it several days.
I should not have encouraged this. This is not funny.
Do
okay.
they get like all Star Trek-y on you? Do they ask you questions about the entire Spider-Man canon just because you were in a
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because there's some sort of like a Bible, Spider-Man Bible that you're given when you're in the.
Well, the truth
movie.
Is yes. I mean, I actually do know.
Right.
That's the funny thing. It's like, yeah, I'm like, I was kind of the perfect guy for that cameo just because I knew more about Spider-Man than probably anyone on set.
Including Tobey Maguire.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. He's been playing Spider-Man for 3 years at that point. And
like, so were you like a Spider-Man geek to Tobey Maguire? Were you like, excuse me, sir? Mr. Maguire?
You're not giving it. That Gwen Stacy was actually the one dropped off the bridge by the Green Goblin, not Mary Jane. That it was actually a decision between that Gwen Stacy was actually his first girlfriend.
He just adopted my Spider-Man
lateralist
voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Lateralist.
Excuse me, Mr.
McGuire. You can't go wrong with a lateralist.
I know they told me not to pester you at Crash Services, but I just wanted you should be aware.
I have some very important, ironic questions that are necessary to if you're going to understand where
they
I'm coming
from.
They
come up to you with notes.
Oh, yes. So here, let me help you. Ow, my pocket protector. Sorry, Mr. McGuire. Okay. All right, let's move on. Representative Ed Markey.
Ed Markey?
On the... Okay, right. On the nuclear situation.
I think there should
be
a moratorium on any further permitting for nuclear power plants in the United States that are in earthquake-prone areas of our country.
Doesn't that seem to make some sort of logical sense?
Well, and also, what do you mean by prone, too? At some point, you're going to have to come to the conclusion that... The worst areas for earthquakes in this country are the places that have faults that haven't gone. The New Madrid fault runs right through Manhattan.
Right.
And
New Madrid fault goes through Missouri.
Sorry.
But there is a fault that goes through Manhattan.
But the last time the one in New York went, it triggered New Madrid, and it made the Mississippi River flow the wrong direction for 3 days.
Yeah.
It shifted that tectonic plate so much, the water started flowing basically upstream.
See, this made me wish that I had paid attention in earthquake class at USC. Remember, I told you I just took it because I thought it was
rocks for jocks.
I thought it was rocks for jocks. I thought it was easy.
Yeah.
And then they realized that it was an easy course, and then they made it really hard with lots of physics and calculus, which, as we know, Mama didn't take in high school. So I barely passed earthquakes. I was just like, excuse me,
this is really hard? Do we have to know this? I don't even know what you're talking about.
But now I'm desperately trying to grasp things from earthquake class at USC because I remember various little, you know, the wires are flapping a little bit. But at least I know more than James Inhofe.
There's been a pause for 15 years now, and I think it's time to continue on. We know, I think most people, the majority in here, I think would agree that we are going to have nuclear power, nuclear energy, develop it.
Yeah,
by no means. We actually don't. As a matter of fact, scientists are now saying that we could actually replace all of the Earth's energy needs by 2050 with zero nukes and zero fossil fuels. It would take a Herculean effort, but we'd only be spending the same amount of money.
58 minutes after the hour, right back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! 6 minutes after the hour, Hump Days with Hal. Everybody's favorite day. It's like ponies and ice cream when Hal's here.
Absolutely.
And if you want to see him live, oh, he's so yummy live. I mean, yes, you can see him on Ustream right now, or ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller, and also at healthsparks.com.
It's so easy.
We're a little competitive this morning. We have dueling Ustreams.
Not that any idiot can't put a bookmark anymore. Like, that's the funny part, that people even have to call it up more than once. But
stream both of us.
Bookmark both sites, because on non-Wednesdays, that's the best place to get it, and they have all kinds of extra little footage and their best video clip of the day is going to be on there. It'll be, you watch, in about 2 weeks, it'll completely overtake StephanieMiller.com.
Listen!
No, and
stop it!
No, I'm just saying your old website is like coal firing, you know, comparatively. It really is. It's like, it's kind of a, you know what I mean?
All right. Listen, that's not what it says here on my paper calendar. Hal Sparks, you are performing live. Live? Where?
Yes, at the Hilton in Vegas next week. And I'll be back in May, too, for Memorial Day weekend. But it's going to be a regular gig, part of the Icons of Comedy series there. And you're welcome. And
yes. Yes, please and thank you.
Yeah, and I've got, I think I'm probably...
And the icon is on Ustream.
Right.
And Jim Ward, I don't know. I know you just got here, but I don't know if you've heard. I've been named a Woman of the Year. So I would like just a little more respect from you.
Did they say which year?
Oh.
For Jim, that is a little more respect. All right. StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. How's that Affleck job going? Have we gotten that yet, Jim?
No, I haven't had the audition.
Oh.
Come on.
Everyone, every voice actor in the world is
trying for that right now.
I called my agent immediately when I heard that.
Every voice actor is not the voice deity. Hello?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right.
It's kind of a special
You know, he doesn't talk like that in real life, Gilbert Gottfried. We did a.
I know. I know
radio,
Gilbert.
Yeah. We did a radio thing, this phone patch thing. He was in New York and I was in Chicago. And anyway, he said, "Hey, how you doing? It's Gilbert. Okay, we on? Okay."
Got the thing and I come down.
Right, yeah.
You know, he just turns it on. You know, will.
You'd have to, otherwise you blow your throat out. It's kind of like Brian Johnson from AC/DC doesn't talk like he sings.
Brian Johnson. I'm trying to order Egg McMuffin. I can't find my keys.
Like that, couldn't live like that.
Doing it for free.
Right.
All right.
I don't know where I parked my car.
I think
it's
when
I left the mall.
Now listen.
Rough over the years.
Right.
Like this.
Totally.
All right, Gadget Boy, as you know, I am completely technologically inept and proud of it. Here's why. I don't, like, you know, Chris, I don't Google myself.
Right.
Because that is... oh. Do not. See, this is the reason not to. Man Google self learns he's dead. See?
Oh.
Another reason
wow.
not to Google. It could ruin your whole day.
Wow. He should put safe search on.
Yes.
Yeah, that will eliminate death as well as nude pictures
well,
of yourself.
There was a Jim Ward who died recently.
And oh, really?
A friend of mine called.
Well, you look,
another
you look
from
well.
For being dead.
Yeah,
right. Sure.
But
that's the spirit.
A friend of mine in New York said, is Jim dead? What happened?
No.
All right. Laura, a fine American, writes, Steph, I'm a devoted mama and the Mooks follower. Fell in love with you when I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I moved back to Denver last summer. Quickly subscribed to the podcast. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Bing.
Oh. Because blasphemy of all blasphemies, you're not on in Denver.
What?
What? What do I have to do? I'm going to keep listening to my podcast, but I'm concerned about all the Denverites that you're not reaching. We need you. Help. Come to Denver. After all, it is the city by the bay.
We love you, Denver.
Yes.
Oh, guess we're not on in Colorado Springs.
Laura, the official Rocky Mountain social worker of the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, I think now that I'm Woman of the Year, I believe our fine Dial Global team is going to take care of that toot sweet.
Yes.
Won't they, Denver?
Bien sûr.
Oui. De rien.
All right. I don't know. Let's dive into
Denver. Denver full of French people. I don't know how that works, but sure.
Omelette de Denver.
Oui.
Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, and see what's doing. Chris is scared and confused by today's show.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome. Just saying.
All right. Rush Limbaugh on the possibility of a government shutdown, my friend.
It's this fear of a government shutdown, apparently, that's got the Republican leadership paralyzed. And they might be ensuring that history repeats itself precisely because they're behaving as if they fear it will. They think a government shutdown will cream them like it did in 1995, but it didn't cream them.
Oh.
They won re-election in 1996. They got welfare reform, but they lost the headline battle. And if they're not careful, what's going to happen here is a third party. Make no mistake, it's the Tea Party. Turned out and voted, made the Republican leaders win, enabled their victory, made their leadership possible. If they're not satisfied with the direction they see, it's a third party time, and nobody's going to be able to talk them out of it.
No, and they should not.
Please, I agree.
Go, be free,
absolutely.
Tea Party.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Start the Tea Party. That's what you should do. Start printing the buttons now.
Don't let the Republicans treat you like that.
Absolutely.
You've got all your life to live, all your love
Send
to give. You'll survive. Go. Be free.
You can.
Dear God, look at the. Oh,
any place that has a monster truck rally, you can have your convention.
There you go.
The freedom any of a place, third party. Go.
Absolutely.
Go, Elsa.
Even in
go.
Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yeah, all the money to be, you know, made on flammable crosses. And to teabag your freedom.
Don't be the beaten wife of the Republican Party. Go!
Go. Separate from them because they're not listening to you. They're trying to actually run a government now.
See how supportive I now that I'm Woman of the Year in radio, I'm so supportive of my fellow broadcasters
Aren't
like
you?
Rush.
Right.
That is a Jim Dandy idea, Rush.
Yes. You're the smartest
man
in radio.
Yes, and I would like more fitness advice from you as well.
Okay. It's stunning that, you know, he's actually praising the concept of them as a third party because that is
and
the single
And they want
thing.
A government shutdown. Like, that really
right.
would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the middle of the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression.
Yes.
That's smart. Yeah, that's well thought out. You know what that means? It means you don't give a crap. It means you're treating America like a renter. It means you're going to, you know, you just want to, you know.
You're not getting
you know
your security
else?
Deposit back.
Exactly.
You know who else gives remarkably good advice? Mark Levin, who advises Israel, go to war, go, do,
right.
go.
My advice to the Israelis, no more land, no more peace. Be prepared for war at all times. Develop the most lethal weapons you can and as many as you can. Because that's the nature of the enemy you're dealing with, both from within and without.
I mean, guys with frost.
Tell Obama to go to hell. Tell Hillary Clinton to get lost.
All right.
And be done with them.
Sure.
And by the way, then they'll respect you. I'm just telling you now.
Oh, that's what it
you're
is.
You're
going to
get no support from this government. And if you don't protect yourselves, you won't survive.
Yes. What's more important than respect?
We have to strike now, sir. Annihilate. Kill.
Shut up. Shut up.
Maybe Mark Levin isn't aware that the foreign aid is almost entirely for Israel in this country.
Exactly.
Yes.
Secondly, since Obama came in and started changing our attitude towards Muslims, that's when all these democracy protests started happening.
Right.
You know, Bush had this bomb the crap out of them and turn them into democratic systems. And that never worked.
No.
And then Barack Obama comes in, and within 7 months, you start seeing democracy rising
movements.
In Iran twice.
By
right.
the way,
Tunisia,
Jim,
Egypt.
Good point. We have lots of foreign aid for Israel, but you know, stuff like crazy stuff, like tsunami relief and earthquake and
no
foreign aid like that.
We don't
that's,
need that.
You know, French and gay stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
that's
Glenn.
What you get for living on an island. That's why Hawaii's not a real place. It's not a country or whatever. It's not where the president comes from. It's like part of Indonesia or something. It just floated off. That's how he lived there, because
yeah.
It broke off from Indonesia and floated
right.
through the Pacific.
Like, you mean Kenyanesia?
Yeah, Kenyanesia. That's
which
where he's
is right
from.
Next to Egypt, which is
Taria,
between Jordan
Stand.
And...
The Stephanie Miller Show wishes to clarify that Jim and Hal are merely doing caricatures of right-wingers, since we're in the middle of the right-wing world. They
yes.
don't speak
and
for...
And Fox
for...
News maps.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And discos?
All right. Glenn Beck what? on the TV.
We are living in times... That
I believe
God will judge each of us for what we do and do not
yeah,
do.
Yeah, you first, dude. Yeah.
And if it's not God, it will at least be historians.
What?
I will go back to say what I said at the beginning of the year. There is great and powerful evil.
Yes. Oh.
But there is great and powerful light as well. Oh. Get into the light and stand in it.
Stand in it.
Because
the
evil... is growing rapidly.
Yes.
Why did he turn into Zelda Rubinstein?
Go to the light. Go to the light. Go to the light.
You said don't go into the light. I feel like I should be standing out in front of his lawn going, what is happening? What a nutcase. And this breathless fear, like, it's
like
he's going.
It is like Poltergeist when Glenn Beck's in the TV. So.
Stay tuned for another episode of Suspense. But first, Radio Ties, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by, like, oh my God.
Brought to you by Carlton Cigarettes.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Got a cough and a carload.
Yeah, he comes out and he says that this might be God talking to the Japanese.
This might
You know, this is a
be.
Message
yes.
from God.
Yes. Oh, God's saying you suck. What you're doing sucks.
Yeah, maybe... If it is, how can it ever occur to him that it might be nuclear power that
yes,
he has a problem
exactly.
with?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because it's clearly...
Look, I gave you the sun.
Yeah,
what?
Right. I gave you sun
this
and wind and tides.
It's free.
The tides are always yeah. moving. The sun is always shining. The wind
Jeez,
is always blowing.
Dumb.
What do you people want from me?
Mind me, you're dumb.
That was brilliant. That was a brilliant skit, boys.
Thank you.
All right, kids. Jennifer.
Up top, Jim.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah. Ooh, high five. Bam. All right. Jennifer in L.A. writes, Steph, I have to say the inevitable happened. My work laptop died. Oh, no.
No, bad.
Fortunately, I listened to you, Steph, and the MOOCs, and what a happy camper I am now that I can access my files remotely. Below is the message I sent to Carbonite. Look at that. Hello. She wrote hello to Carbonite. I just wanted to thank
Carbonite,
you.
Carbonite, hello.
Larry King does not answer the phone at Carbonite. I just wanted
sure
to thank
like
you
that.
After hearing your ads on the Stephanie Miller Show on KTLK in Los Angeles repeatedly. It finally convinced me to sign up for Carbonite. Needless to say, my laptop from work crashed within a month after I got Carbonite. Fortunately for me, I was able to access all my files via Carbonite remote access to my files. You saved me hundreds of labor hours. Thank you a bunch, and your advertising from the Stephanie Miller Show paid off for me. Now I'm considering getting it from my home computers as well. Sincerely, Jennifer. Do it, Jennifer!
Wow.
Do it! Go now!
Don't
get
wait.
It for your home computers. All right.
Are you trying to get people to sign on or Marvisets to sign on? Because you're talking to your By the
do
way,
you have, do you have an opposable thumb? Get Carbonite.
I'm not convinced that Marmosets aren't actually a Mogwai, so I would not get them wet or feed them after midnight. I'm just saying.
Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie for this special offer, 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
There's something weird, and it don't look good. Who you gonna call?
Stephanie Miller.
I get it, because we have competing use streams, Hal Sparks and I today. So someone in the chat room said, don't cross the streams.
Yeah.
We had Sigourney Weaver on last week.
Yes. Woman of the Year, Stephanie Miller. Of course,
Thank
the year
you.
Was 1986, but...
Shush! 23 Ouch. Minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free. We are streaming at ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller and also at HealthSparks.com.
Yeah.
Cool.
Check us out.
We are crossing
the streams.
Yeah, and we're cool with that.
Recording safety tip. Thank you, Egan.
Yeah, you're right. You know, that song, he got sued for that. Ray
yes.
Parker got sued for that. That's actually I Want a New Drug by
right.
Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis.
It's the same music. He stole it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And now he gets credit. If you look on the thing, it says, like, by Ray Parker and Huey Lewis.
And Sigourney Weaver is in Barcelona working on, like, a what did she say, Chris? It's like a serious Ghostbusters. It's about paranormal. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, there are
all
few
right.
shows like that.
Mm-hmm. Tom in Columbus has sent a Guess the Quote for you, Jim, because, one of our right-wing friends was ruminating on the no need for science with the nuke. Just go with the nuclear plans. Full steam ahead.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. Who said, as you can see here, and I think this may be the most important prop we'll have during this entire debate, my wife and I have been married for 47 years. We have 20 kids and grandkids. Jeez. I'm really proud to say in the recorded history of our family, we've never had a divorce or any kind of homosexual relationship.
Oh.
Huh?
Who said that?
Who said that?
Keith Relf.
No. Senator James Inhofe from Oklahoma, who has splendid genetic tree that includes nothing icky like divorce or
homosexuality.
No pink fruit on that tree.
Ahmadinejad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there are no gays in Iran or in Jim Inhofe's family.
Or Jews. Or
right.
We don't have that here. Although we have speculated that if one were to give the Inhofe family tree a little shake...
Yeah.
I think there might be a Lance Inhofe in Fire Island, something.
If you have to say that, it probably means there's something perhaps you're concerned about.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Lance Inhofe?
I'm speculating that there's a cousin somewhere. Cousin Bertha in Provincetown that's driving her truck as we speak, listening.
There are no homosexuals in the South. They just sound like that.
All right, Fred, we continue the right-wing world. Fred Barnes on the Brit Bear.
I don't think this is a bad way to do business at all. Republicans are winning. Mm-hmm. They're getting spending cuts.
Awesome.
Democrats, when you saw Nancy Pelosi saying, this is a matter of morality, that's what we're voting on here, you know the Democrats haven't got a strategy. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to stop Republicans. And so all Republicans have to do is just ratchet the thing up. You know, okay, we're doing $2 billion a week on the next CR. Let's do $3 billion a week. Republicans shouldn't throw away a strategy that's working and, as Charles said, is actually cutting real money.
Duh. Yeah, what is...
Winning.
What is cutting, I don't know, services for the poor have to do with morality?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Or tsunami warning.
What long-term effects on the country would Head Start cuts make? I mean, they're just kids.
It's just going to
kill a bunch of useless eaters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got to thin the herd somehow, right?
Okay.
Like maybe more nuclear accidents. That would do it.
Do we have to have a second helping of Rush Limbaugh? Mm-hmm.
Oh. The thing is that... That stimulus we now know was nothing more than a money laundering operation for public sector employees in the various states run by Democrats. Nothing about that stimulus was to stimulate the American economy.
So why are we selling cars in China now?
Yeah.
Good point, Jim. Thank you.
Curious,
don't you love, by the way, going back for a moment to this whole morality in the budget thing, don't you love that? That's the Republican Party. It's like cutting money for the poor. That has nothing to do with morals. Now, gays,
yeah.
That's the kind of immorality we're talking about.
Unless they're Republican gays. And then don't
consenting adults loving each other. That's what I'm talking about.
I love my wife.
Yeah. Yes.
The Republicans want to enact bills to make you make a different social choice.
I love my wife.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that sounds like nanny state social engineering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Crowdhammer on O'Reilly.
Fox, with its incredible success, has shown that there was a hunger in the country for this kind of different way to look at the news from the wall-to-wall
journalism
of the major newspapers, the major networks, the major news magazines. And all of a sudden, one product emerges in the world that offers an alternative. Liberals always want to find a way to shut it down, to shout it down, or talk radio as well with the fairness doctrine.
Oh.
On these one or two or three isolated outlets for another perspective on the world, they can't stand what it says about America and the marketplace, and they want to shut it down.
Yeah, Joseph Goebbels had a different view of the news, too.
The kind without facts that aren't clogged up by all those. I love a different view of the news.
Well, I don't understand. Fox is fair and balanced. Why would they fear the fairness doctrine?
Yeah.
One would think they would fit
in their title.
Right. If they had the fairness doctrine, then Fox would be like first in line. They'd have like an A. They'd probably get a gold star from the teacher.
Right.
If they didn't hate teachers.
Yeah, if the teachers were fired.
Yeah.
Yes. 6 billion right-wing radio stations and 3 progressive. What's not fair about that?
Yeah.
It's completely fair and balanced.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that concludes A Right Wing World for today. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, congratulations. You're not just talker of the year, you're the talker of the decade. You're our favorite woman ever. Listen, that was the best. I needed a good laugh today. That Glenn Beck quote was perfect, and it reminds me of my 7-year-old grandson. When I threaten him, he just says, Mima, you know you're full of empty threats.
Wow.
Smart.
If there's a, you know, if it isn't God, It's someone writing an article about me in Talkers Magazine that's going to notice that I've been kicked off WR.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, I'm kind of a comedy snob, and
Stephanie Miller
does make me laugh.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, in the midst of the hump days with Hal's Fox. And we will be joined by investigative journalist Greg Pallast. Actually, in about 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Yay! And then next hour, Representative Elliot Engel, Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Yes, Jim Ward?
I got a postcard from Chris in Yankton.
Yes.
It's, I don't know if you can see this. The Purple Horde's blarg.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The people spoke in the last election and they said, blarg!
They spoke very clearly.
Mad! Angry!
Misguided! Shooting in the air! Don't care where the bullets land. Mad.
Mm. All right. And Chris, you said normally we put pictures up on my Facebook page and we get, you know, a few people look at them.
Yeah.
But the tiny marmoset in the pink and white dress?
Mm-hmm. 64
comments on the marmoset. I'm telling you.
Wow.
And now, a story about a dog. look at this. Jeff sent me a seeing eye dog. Got a seeing eye dog. Oh, that's so... Because it's one dog went, the person seeing eye dog went blind, and then he got a seeing eye dog.
For the dog.
And look at the dog. He's helping the other doggy.
Oh.
All right, Jeff writes, Steph, okay, it's no guide horse, but hey, Sneakers or whatever his name was. Cuddles, Jeff. His name was Cuddles, and he wears sneakers. He is a blue-eyed guide horse, and he's named Cuddles, and he wears sneakers.
And he's got a pet marmoset.
No, he does not, Jim. You're confusing the cute animal stories. I'm obsessed with Cuddles, the guide horse. Have you ever seen him, Hal?
Yes.
I should get a Cuddles and a marmoset. I think that's what I'll do. All right.
And then we'll never see you again. You'll be all huddled in your house with David Bender, and you'll both be petting a Shetland pony and feeding it, hand-feeding it grain.
Don't you mock my domestic bliss with David Bender.
Not at all.
Jealous because I didn't cook for you when you were my husband in New York because I'd lost the will to live.
We need a picture of David Bender in a house coat.
That's true. That's got to happen.
He actually is in my house coat right now.
Bathrobe or something.
He's watching the show. He has to call in. David Bender, I know you're listening.
Oh, Jesse sent us a couple Photoshop funds of what it looks like this house this week at my house with David Bender staying with me. And yes, we do make pottery full time, like in Ghost.
Wow.
Jesse, you're absolutely right. That's all we do. We make pottery half naked. Half naked all night.
It's just like a volcano.
Oh, and he sent another one. Steph, I have a pretty idea what it looks like in your kitchen with David Bender, and that's us cuddling and drinking wine, which is also pretty close to the truth.
I'm not seeing the picture in the of the marmoset in the.
I apologize, Hal. I mostly just drank and ordered in New York because I was.
I know.
It was a soul sucking, nearly near death experience.
I understand.
My move to New York, as you know.
I tried to mitigate the damage as much as I could, but I
know. I appreciate it.
But.
Okay, Nancy in Minnesota. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nance.
Well, hi there, Steffi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
I know you're doing fine.
Yes.
I've got my TV on mute. I'm listening to you. And up pops these beautiful doggies in Japan. One will not leave the other wounded one.
Oh.
It's on MSNBC.
Oh, I know, Nancy. I have to tell you, those pictures always kill me. There was a bunch of them yesterday somebody sent me of people being reunited with their pets and stuff.
These two, they just showed them, like, laying, you know, there where all the destruction is.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like big doggy stuff.
Aw, yeah, all right. I can't. It's already bad enough. I can't. Then when they add the pictures of the pets and All right. We had been talking about the actually, Chris, you were saying the breaking news is these even these workers that
They've been pulled.
Volunteered to stay had to leave. But I mean, we were saying that, you know, in every tragedy, too, there's something that's just, you know, incredibly heartwarming. And there were 50 emergency workers trying to prevent the full meltdown of the, am I going to say this correctly, Fukushima Daiichi,
yes.
right?
Yep.
Nuclear facility.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think we found you a language.
Thank you.
It's English,
not,
isn't it?
Oh,
maybe.
Konnichiwa.
Hi. I saw this guy.
Maybe Japanese is the trick.
Oh, hi.
Ichi, ni, san.
Yeah.
That's all I remember from karate class.
Right.
It's not an exaggeration to say the safety of thousands of Japanese citizens hinges on the efforts of these cleanup workers who volunteered. Most of the roughly 800 employees had been evacuated. Even in a culture that places a premium on self-sacrifice, these ordinary workers are being extraordinarily selfless and could ultimately, you know, obviously, as we've been saying, will likely make the ultimate sacrifice for their fellow my question would be, now what? Now what if you've evacuated the emergency workers? Does that mean it's obviously spiraling out of control, or there's nothing else they can do, or now what happens?
Well, they've been talking about all kinds of options, one which is helicoptering in hoses to pump seawater into the cracks in the roof to refill the pond in Reactor 4 that's holding all the spent fuel rods.
But the other thing is that there's obviously radiation being released in the air. So already. How about being any kind of rescue workers? Would you like to go in the middle of that and try to hide?
But the thing is, yeah. I mean, Japan is so into robotics. I don't know why they didn't think of having potential robotic ways of dealing with the crisis.
Yeah.
Well, largely because it's so huge. The truth is, all those reactor ponds. There's 1,700 tons of spent fuel. In that facility, one facility.
The Japanese Prime Minister yesterday.
We urge people within 20 to 30 kilometers range to stay indoors, such as their houses or in their offices, considering what could happen to the reactors now.
Assuming they have houses or offices.
I was just going to say, and can you actually seal your house? Again,
right.
I mean,
that was the whole thing about duct tape.
And after 9/11, they were saying, this prevents. here you go. Wrap yourself in plastic and duct tape your mouth and nose shut. I will suffocate and die. Yeah. Whatever.
That was a very confusing period. It was like, wait a minute, we're in a level to orange and get what color duct tape? And then
this doesn't match my outfit. The terror does not match my shoes.
But you told me to go shopping or the terrorists win. How do I?
Right. Do I have to shop for an outfit that matches the terror?
Do I have to be
just
wrapped
in a hazmat suit?
Yeah, right. Do I have to shop entirely wrapped in duct tape?
An orange hazmat suit? I forget.
Oh, boy. Okay, the Japan Chief Cabinet Secretary.
11,000 microsievert of radiation exposure is the equivalent of the amount of exposure you get in a year if you live a normal life. If you stay in that place for 1 hour, you may be exposed to 11,000, so we certainly have to cautiously watch this.
This is why manned space travel to planets like Mars is so dicey, because for 3 days from going to the moon, you're exposing radiation. Radiation is tolerable, but if you're out there for months and months and months, the amount of shielding they'd have to put in the ship would just.
The other thing that's an issue for them too is that there's no direct, like, it's not like a bomb going off where it's a circle where you can measure the radiation equally in parts, because some places, 2 miles away might not be hit by it.
Yeah.
Much at all, but 35 miles away might get twice its amount of dosage because it's picked up by wind and fog the weather system varies greatly how much radiation gets where.
You know, and obviously there's so much focus on the nuclear crisis now that, you know, you forget that they're in the midst of this enormous crisis from the earthquake itself and the tsunami. And speaking of dogs, I mean, that's why you see all these pictures of search dogs still trying to, I mean, if you look at these pictures and these mounds of wreckage, a search team leader.
People don't die easily. That is why we're doing our best. We'll continue to spot areas that have not been searched yet.
You just, you know, and again, people are always amazed. They find this guy 9 miles out to sea, adrift.
On his roof.
And his wife had slipped away, and then they found a father and daughter that had been separated that were both floating in the water.
Wow.
Amazing. Did you see the picture of the one guy and, you know, head in his hands, and the search team is trying to open his car to see if his family members were in there? He couldn't find his family members. They're trying to see if they were inside this crumpled car.
And they had an 80-year-old woman they found or whatever, and they got her to help, and there were two other people in the car with her. They all survived. And there was this shot of her sitting in a chair, and they were warming her up and giving her tea and stuff. And this lady is the only time, I couldn't not tear up. It started happening because this one lady was just rubbing her hand, just trying to calm her down and make her feel better because she'd just been in her car for 72 hours or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. One evacuee yesterday.
I really hope that we can go back to our house as soon as possible and to live an ordinary life.
Oh, they, I know, I have so many people write, you know, just say, I wish I could give them a warm, calm place to stay.
Yeah.
You know, you just see these people looking dazed, sitting in all this wreckage and thinking, mm-hmm. What? Yeah.
AT&T and Verizon have both offered free long-distance calling to from America to Japan.
Mm-hmm. Time Warner, too.
Yeah, Time Warner, too.
And Representative Elliot Engel will also talk to us next hour about what the U.S. is doing to help and what you can do. 43 minutes after the hour, investigative journalist Greg Palast. Next, to scare the bejesus out of us on The Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Kick it!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 48 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. All right, Hal, entirely too many feel-good stories this morning. It's time to have the bejesus scared out of us by investigative journalist extraordinaire Greg Palast. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Steph.
Listen, I wanted to do a little light reading last night. I turned my flashlight on. I read your piece. And, the headline is Tokyo Electric to build U.S. nuclear plants. These are obviously the same people, the purveyors of the current disaster. Tell us more, Greg.
Well, that's the core of the issue, which is that Tokyo Electric Power has been invited by the Obama administration to build and operate two nuclear plants on the south coast, on the Gulf Coast of Texas, which, you know,
Great. Hey,
the Gulf Coast has suffered enough. And $4 billion of U.S. taxpayer loan guarantees. Now, then the reason, by the way, that Obama brought in Tokyo Electric and Toshiba, which, by the way, built the failed diesel pumps that are failing in Japan. They were invited because the company that was supposed to build in South Texas, Houston Power, has a criminal record of suppressing safety reports, has gone bankrupt, and has been fined $1 billion for incompetence. So they said, well, since this company that wants to build the plant is dissolute, well, if they have these good guys from Tokyo advising them, then everything will be fine.
Mm. Well, you write, the failure of emergency systems at Japan's nuclear plants comes as no surprise to those of us who've worked in the field. Nuclear plants the world over must be certified for what is called seismic qualification. You say the most inexpensive way to meet your SQ is to lie. The industry does it all the time, which is, of course, terrifying.
And I guess
gets away with it.
Yeah, well, before I was a reporter, I had a real job. I was an investigator and ran racketeering cases for the government and fraud cases, especially nuclear industry. And I did put together a government case against this builder Shaw Construction or its Stone & Webster unit, Long Island Lighting. What we found was that the SQ, which means seismic qualification, and that means, you know, that a building can withstand an earthquake, an Al-Qaeda bomb, or just a truck backing into it, that the utilities, that these companies and builders tend to fake it because it's really, really hard to harden your building against an earthquake. I mean, that means every bolt, it's not just big equipment, like every bolt has to be tightened to a certain torque. That's about a million and a half volts have to be tightened. This one plant that I investigated, we found out that the report actually said that the plant had failed. It couldn't handle an earthquake, but the company told them to change the report from failed to passed. And I was told this is really very much standard operating procedure through the industry. And the company, by the way, that I caught is the one that's going to be Tokyo Electric's partner in South Texas.
Wow.
I mean,
Well,
you know,
Greg, you there's so many elements of this. You just mentioned the emergency diesel generators that are, you know, in Japan currently. You were saying on CNN you heard reporters repeat the official line, the tsunami disabled the pumps needed to cool the reactors, implying that water unexpectedly got into the diesel generators that run the pumps. But you say these safety backup systems, the emergency diesel generators, you know, you said that they don't work in an emergency is like a fire department saying they can't save a building because it's on fire.
Fire, right.
So,
that's right. These are the emergency diesel generators, but the truth is those of us in the industry kind of consider them decoration, that they are there to mollify people that things will be okay in the case of an accident, but they're really not powerful enough or strong enough to actually work when you have to snap them on fast and run full speed in an emergency. And we saw that. All 13, every single diesel generator snapped and popped at the Fukushima plant and at Tokai, another nuclear plant. It was not, by the way, because of the earthquake. They actually all went on after the earthquake, and it wasn't because of the tsunami, because they broke before the tsunami hit. It's because these diesels are crap. They're crap in Japan. They're crap in the United States.
Right, but
and they just don't work.
Right, but Greg, you write, in the U.S. we supposedly fixed our diesels after much complaining by the industry, but in Japan you say no one tells Tokyo Electric to do anything the Emperor of Electricity doesn't want to do.
That's right.
But so what do you think that, obviously this being the same company that we just hired, I mean, is there going to be more scrutiny, do you think, or hope after this, you know, before that happens?
No.
I mean, when you even have the Joe Lieberman saying we need to slow up here and take a look, I mean, what do you think is going to happen now?
Well, I'm glad we could at least slow up Joe Lieberman.
I know.
If the thing is, the problem is that any fix to a nuclear plant, because of its nature, it quickly shoots up to $1 billion. You change it because of the construction interest cost. If you have to change the diesels, that's $1 billion right there. If you have to upgrade the seismic qualification, it's an earthquake, there's $1 billion right there. You know, $1 billion here, $1 billion there, it adds up.
I'm pretty sure you're talking real money. Yeah.
Again, though, that's
Greg, that's where... What happened is... Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that's where we're measuring the, you know, cost only in dollars. That $1 billion change could be the very thing that saves hundreds of thousands of lives over time, saves people from birth defects and cancer and all those kind of things. And to avoid paying that $1 billion necessary to make this.
Because rich people have to keep their tax money. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, the other thing, Greg, you write, these plants are now releasing radioactive steam into the atmosphere. Be skeptical about the statements that the quote-unquote the levels are not dangerous. These are the same people who said the meltdowns could never happen over years, not days. There may be 1,000 people, 2,000, 10,000 who will suffer from cancer from this radiation. I mean, that's, you know, the frightening thing is right now I think we just have no idea. Right? I mean, the level of depth.
One of the problems is, when I say 10,000, very frankly, that's clearly way underestimated. I don't want to be irresponsible for throw out big numbers, but there's not going to be, certainly going to be a far more than 10,000 leukemia deaths as a result. When I worked on emergency evacuation for the state of New York on nuclear plants, and I actually had to add up the mortality tables in case of a meltdown, you're talking about the same density in Japan as we had in the suburban New York area. So it's about, you're looking at 100,000 illnesses and, 50,000 deaths. It spreads. You can't say that person died of leukemia because of that plant. That's the hard thing. You don't even see most of these mortalities for,
which a lot of times.
Well, that's the thing with radiation that's terrifying. Right. You can't see it, feel it.
Same with Three Mile Island, where they said there no deaths happened. Well, not at the plant itself, but a lot of stuff happened in the surrounding county.
Well, Greg, here's the part you'll want to read to your kids as a bedtime story. The carcinogenic isotopes are released at Fukushima are already floating to Seattle with effects we simply cannot measure.
Wow.
The government has told us that's not so. Is that? I mean, obviously, the scientists that you see quoted are saying that is very unlikely that it's going to disperse.
Well, the scientists you see quoted on CNN almost to the one work for the industry.
Uh-huh.
I heard one guy say, well, you know, we shouldn't complain. The nuclear industry's had a pretty good record.
Ugh.
We might lose 100,000 people here.
Right.
And he's saying, well, hey, big deal. What if Boeing lost 200 planes, which would be about the same number of deaths, lost 200 planes? They said, well, you know, most of the planes don't fall out of the sky. I mean, this is their attitude.
Right.
You see it right on the air. They don't care. And plus, the Japanese government lies.
Yeah, they keep making bad analogies. Like, hey, bridges fall down, so we're not going to stop building bridges. It's like, well, yeah, bridges in states with Republican governors that don't believe in infrastructure and don't reinforce
and
them.
And falling
yes.
bridges don't kill people 100 miles away.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, and here's, let's remember this. We have choices here. If a windmill falls over, you don't have to abandon a city for two decades.
Right.
Yeah.
If an oil plant blows up, you don't have to evacuate for 100 miles around, and you're not going to have 100,000 people get cancer, birth defects, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is the only technology where we deliberately put in something highly dangerous into populated areas when we have a choice not to.
Right.
It's not cheap. At the moment, it's the most expensive form of power.
Mm-hmm.
In South Texas, the same company which wants to build a nuclear plant is now selling wind power at a lower cost than they will sell the nuclear power for. So what the heck are we doing?
Right.
Yeah, Greg, absolutely great stuff as usual. We are out of time, and now we have to talk about marmosets again to get us all back down off the ledge. Greg Palast, investigative journalist extraordinaire, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
All right, there he goes. All right, oh, thank God Karen in L.A. has a marmoset.
Of course, they're 50-foot-tall irradiated marmosets.
Right, nuclear marmosets.
If your tiny marmoset
storming the city
suddenly is suddenly King Kong.
Mongo no fit in cute clothes no more.
You'll know something has gone awry. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. We have dueling streams, ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller, and also at HowlSparks.com.
Mm-hmm. That's where the good chat's happening.
Oh,
snap. Stephanie Miller.
I'm sorry, I love them. There, I said it.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there as well. We have Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky coming up. And right now, one of our very personal favorites, Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm fine. Well, you know, we've obviously been talking about the tragedy in Japan all morning. Let's talk about that first. What is the U.S. doing to help, and what else can people listening do?
Well, the U.S. has been sending advisors and technical people who know how to do these kinds of things to contain the radiation. And, you know, it's just a shame that they didn't call on us earlier because, of course, time is of the essence. And I think the Japanese society is a closed society, and they hesitated to ask for outside help. So we have sent all the people that we can to help, and I suppose in the next several days we'll be hearing of different organizations that'll be collecting money for the victims. I mean, you know, you still have hundreds of thousands, I think, of people, maybe certainly tens of thousands of people uprooted with no place to go, and living in huts or makeshift huts with no. You know, not enough water, no food, no place to bathe. It's just horrific. It's just, you know, you watch the scenes on television and you just kind of recoil because, it's like when we were watching about Katrina, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and I think Americans generally, we're just, you know, we can't help but want to help. And I know, you know, we had George Takei on yesterday who's, you know, sent a lot of people the Red Cross's way. I mean, I
right.
think that it's an enormous feeling of helplessness when you just watch these scenes on television.
Well, and you know, you know, your heart breaks because, you know, you hear mothers talking about holding on to children, and then children were swept away, or husbands and wives, and things like that. I mean, everyone is a human being, and it's just so terrible. And you know, you think, or you get reassurances that these things cannot happen, and then lo and behold, they happen.
Well. Representative, that's what we've been talking about, is, you know, how do you think this will or will not affect the debate on nuclear energy in this country?
Well, it has to affect it. I mean, look, I want to wean the United States off of foreign oil, and I think that the United States ought to have a balanced energy policy, and I think that includes nuclear power. However, what my Republican friends want to do with any kind of industry, and I would even say with the nuclear industry, they say, oh, well, you know, they're fine. We don't have to worry about regulation. We don't have to worry about, you know, just give people tax breaks, give companies tax breaks, and they'll be fine. And I think we see that it's not fine, that there is, I've been saying this for a while, there's a cozy relationship between the nuclear industry and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And we've been having a fight with them in the New York City metropolitan area with a nuclear power plant called Indian Point.
Yeah, I lived about 2 minutes from it a few years ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you know, and I was the first member of Congress to call for its closure, I don't know how many years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, because I was convinced that power plant should not be in the New York City metropolitan area. Yeah. And if it was built today, they'd never build it there. And lo and behold, we find out that it is built on two fault lines, and that's supposed to sustain.
Well, Congressman, I lived, in New York, actually in Croton on the Hudson during 9/11, and so I remember that time when, you know, you're thinking, wow, this seems a spectacularly bad place, not even knowing about the fault lines, but, you know, to have a nuclear power plant.
Right.
Out here in California, it's the same debate. We have, you know, fault lines out here, and obviously the same capacity, right? I mean, I think that's the main thing, is even they couldn't survive an earthquake of this magnitude, right?
No, well, the one in Indian Point, they're saying that it can survive a 6.1 on the Richter scale, and New York has never had anything more than 5.8, and that was more than 100 years ago. Well, that's all well and good, but Japan never had an 8.9 before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just think that we need to be smart about it, and if we're going to build these plants, we need to build them in areas where there aren't many people.
Yeah.
I know if I lived near the nuclear reactors in Japan, and I had the ability, I would get as far away as I could.
Yeah. Congressman, let's talk about the other big story, and that's obviously the budget fight going on in Washington. And is it just me as a layperson, but I'm like, what? We passed another stopgap. The House passed a measure blending $6 billion in cuts with enough money to keep the government running for 3 more weeks. So how many of these are we going to keep doing before, you know, they're going to get it all realistic about trying to come to some agreement?
Well, I want to tell you, I voted for it yesterday because we are faced with either vote for this for 3 weeks or the government will probably shut down. And I figured, okay, let's do it one more time and let's see what we can get in 3 weeks. But I got to tell you, this is no way to run a country. This is no way to fund the government. And I'm not very optimistic, Stephanie. I have to tell you, because you have these new Tea Party freshmen, they don't want to compromise, so it seems to me, and they're pushing their leadership so far to the right that I just don't see how you get them to compromise.
Well,
I mean,
that's right. They're insisting on these cuts that, you know, are going to obviously destroy Planned Parenthood, block implementation of the health strike, you know, money for the health care law. The EPA, I mean, it just did the whole. Chuck Schumer said they're using the budget to try and shoot the moon on a wish list of far policy measures. If this debate were about spending cuts, we'd probably come to agreement before too long. But you're absolutely right. We haven't been at this point with this version of the Republican Party with the Tea Party. Correct?
Stephanie, yes. And yesterday in the Energy and Commerce Committee, if you can believe this, we passed a bill barring the EPA from monitoring greenhouse gas emissions on a party line vote.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put in an amendment saying the earth is flat. Because You know, because, I mean, it's just, it's, you sit there and you kind of scratch your head and you say, you know, what are these people doing? Look, there is a fiscal crisis. There is a budget crisis. We have it nationally and we have it on the state level. But what the Republican zealots are doing is they're using this crisis to try to get rid of every program they hated all these years. So whether it's Planned Parenthood or public broadcasting or Pell Grants or anything like that, money for old people so they won't freeze in the wintertime, they're trying to get rid of it. And, of course, in Wisconsin, this is precisely what the governor there is doing. The union had agreed to take some cuts which would have allowed him to balance his budget, but no, he wanted to get rid of collective bargaining. So they're using this crisis as an excuse to get rid of everything they've never liked. And yeah, we cannot balance our budget with cuts alone. I don't know how we justify giving $4 billion to the oil companies when they're making record profits, and we're giving them all these money and tax subsidies and tax breaks. It's unconscionable, or that the top 1% of the people in this country can't pay a little bit more, but we're going to stop programs for poor women so they can't get reproductive health counseling.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous.
Well, I mean, this is what the president's spokesman said. With the wide range of issues facing our nation, we can't keep funding the government in 2 or 3 week increments. It's time for us to resolve this issue in a sensible way. And yet, you seem like, you know, you're right, these people on the other side, they're itching for a fight and or a shutdown. I mean, they're saying this is probably going to be the last one of these CRs, right, before we could have this, you know, ultimate fight and or shutdown, right?
Well, yeah. Well, what did we do? We voted to extend it 3 weeks, and then we immediately voted to recess all of next week, you know, for the break. The Democrats voted no. You know, we think we should be in Washington trying to reach a, you know, to break this impasse. But no, you know, the Republicans decide they're going to just go home.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, but I think people are waking up to this nonsense, and I think that it's obvious that they're not doing what's good for the country, but just following their own very narrow ideological bent.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Representative Elliot Engel, we always appreciate you being in the trenches for us and fighting the good fight. Thanks, as always, for your time.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be on, Stephanie.
All right, you too, sir. There he goes. Representative Elliot Engel. And now, a story about a marmoset. Karen in Los Angeles. Hello, Karen.
Karen.
Yes, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My story involves two clinical psychologists who were sharing an office. One is studying the criminally insane, and she goes 3 times a week to interview 2 prisoners at the local hospital for the criminally insane.
Oh.
And the other one has marmosets, and she's just delivered a litter of 2 baby newborn marmosets when she gets called out of town on an emergency.
Not herself, from her womb, I assume, from a marmoset womb?
From her other marmosets in
okay.
the lab.
She wasn't the surrogate mother
surrogate
for
marmoset.
The marmosets. Okay.
No, no, no.
Because that would be weird.
Right.
That would be very weird. So, the one gets called out of town, marmoset doc, and the other one has promised to take care of her marmosets, which the babies have to be fed like every hour or 2 hours.
Sure.
So she can't figure out how she's going to do this and still keep her her meetings with her prisoners. So she has a big bouffant hairdo. She sticks the 2 baby marmosets in her hair,
oh, boy.
Takes
oh,
them
boy.
With her to the prison.
That'll make
them.
You crazy if you're not already.
Uh-huh.
Put a marmoset in your hair?
She feeds them, puts them back in her hair, and goes in to talk to her prisoners. And after about 10 minutes, one of them's eyes gets really, really wide, and he starts stammering, and he gets up and starts banging on the door to be let out.
Is this like an episode of Scared Straight, or is this an actual story?
No, this is a
You're going to keep
story.
Messing around like that. You're going to end up in here. There's marmosets. This is not like
one of my,
juvie.
One of my neighbors was one of the clinical psychologists, and she told me the story.
Yes. All right.
It's funny.
That's weird. Okay,
wow.
Thank you, honey. That's a very weird story.
It is a weird story.
Oh, man, I must be losing that. I saw marmoset clam out of her.
Okay,
head.
Let yeah. me out of here. I was just faking it. I'm not crazy. Okay.
Wow. I was crazy before, but I am now.
Marmoset! 18 minutes after the hour. Oh, boy. Right back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yay. Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
bastard.
Mm-hmm. The cars are chewing again.
Uh-huh. Minus. Sparks is just whispering all creepy in my ear and spooning me.
Creepy.
And that was not a marmoset in your pants. You clearly were happy to see me. Thank you. 22 minutes after the hour. Hal is going to be at a strip club tonight in L.A.
That's true. Well, that's true a lot, but I will be performing at one. My band, 01, is playing tonight at Crazy Girls.
Wow. Yeah, you asked me if I'm going. I'm like, is there stripping at lunch? Otherwise, yeah. I can't
go. Do you have a 5:30 p.m. show? Is there a matinee? No.
The Blue Plate special.
Is there something I can bring where there's candies to
lunch?
We're
not part of the C-shift.
Before dinner. No. All right, Hal Sparks will be there, and then also...
At the Hilton next week. Well, actually, you'll be at the Whiskey a Go-Go on Monday night.
Whoa!
Yeah. Which sure. You can come to that because you're on vacation. You don't have an excuse. You guys could actually come
Washington.
See the show.
At, oh, Randy Rhodes, the Hoa, did write me back, and said that a three-way with me, her, and Howard, too much work for her, but we can have dinner and drinks. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. That is too much work after a certain age. It's like, oh.
I totally.
Can
yeah.
I be the one that watches? Just
right.
Like,
No, everybody's fighting for bottom.
All right.
What?
Hal Sparks is an icon of comedy thing.
I'm at the Hilton next week in Vegas.
Vegas!
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Vegas!
I'm in the Shimmer Ballroom, man, at Hilton. That's a good old place. That's a great place. Come on.
All right, enough about
him. Come on, Smiley Jim.
Back to me. Thank you for all the fine Americans that have written to congratulate me on being named Woman of the Year.
I think it's fantastic.
Well, look,
nobody deserves it more than you.
Nationally syndicated Dial Global Talk star. Superstar. Stephanie Miller will accept this year's Judy Jarvis Memorial Award for outstanding contributions by a woman to talk radio. And you are, you're right, I got it because I'm the only one left, the woman that hasn't won it. There's like two of us. There's the two Lauras. Oh, no, the other Laura's gone, and Randy already won it, so it's me.
I made you a woman of the year in Hip Shaker magazine.
Miller is a longtime respected broadcaster. People. On radio and TV, whose career has roots at Los Angeles stations KFI and KBC in the 90s until...
You're fired.
Anyway, that's not important now.
Yeah. And also at WGN in the 1920s.
KFI. Technically, I quit to go to my disastrous late night TV show, so that's...
Which I almost was your musical sidekick.
That is so many disastrous decisions ago, who can even...
I was almost your musical sidekick on that show.
I know!
Except the audition destroyed all my gear because it was done in with substandard wiring in a crap warehouse near
some
here.
Some people could let go of some things because we are moved on.
That was the most expensive audition of my life. It cost me $3,000. That audition.
Oh, wow. He never lets go of anything.
And that was just the parking.
Oh, Bernie.
Miller is a unique and original performer who combines humor with biting social and political satire and is a courageous spokesperson for human rights. She added a new facet to her multidimensional personality and intriguing repertoire this past summer by boldly coming out on the air and revealing she is...
Lawrence Welk fan.
Lawrence Welk fan. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Talkers Magazine.
Yay.
All right. Yay. Oh, and this is nothing compared to Hal Sparks' Legion of Fans. We have activated the comic geeks now.
Oh, yeah?
This is, Steven writes, Spider-Man 2 is the greatest movie ever made. Can Hal be my friend, please?
I totally agree.
Marvel also introduced the first gay superhero North Star in the series Alpha Flight, though personally I always had my suspicions about the Human Torch.
Steven. Human Torch singer, actually, is what he was. Maybe.
Yeah.
But
a little.
Hey, I was in the first Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Jim Ward Jim Ward is always in the movie for a couple of minutes, and then... were you blowed up?
Yep, I got blowed up real good.
Yes.
By the Green Goblin.
By the Green Goblin.
As was my friend Rachel Kinsey, who I think was in the same thing.
All right, and now some emails about me being disgusting. I have to read an email that is entitled, You Sneaky Nose Picker, You. I haven't been called that since grade school. Jim from Chicago, Steph, I heard you tell a caller that you pick your teeth and your nose on the Ustream. Truthfully, if every woman had a set of white teeth like you did, I'd suggest they all pick their teeth.
Aww.
Why, thank you.
And
then he goes into some of his nose-picking technique, which I didn't really know.
Yeah,
I don't know. He throws them at his kids.
Knuckle deep,
really
baby. Come on.
All right. Here's a little listener comedy that also has to do with something gross that I do. Although I'm an environmentalist, Hal, and I'm saving water, and yet they mock me that I pee in the shower. Because... It saves water.
Absolutely.
I'm an environmentalist.
And the other person doesn't have to, go someplace else to...
Don't
Mark
do it if your drain is stopped up, though.
Mark in Musselvania, right, Steph, this may be awkward timing when you have the house guest and all, but you know how you pee in the shower? I mentioned it because of a crazy coincidence last week. I developed a mild case of athlete's foot. The doctor told me I can deal with any fungus in the shower tiles myself. Urine, he said, kills athlete's foot on contact. Okay, so I go home to follow the doctor's orders, and I couldn't pull the trigger. Steph, it was the oddest thing. It's like my kidneys were enforcing some minimum standard of decency on me. My brain was giving the orders, but the renal organs countermanded them as too repugnant, too degenerate. I guess after all these millennia, civilization is still part of our DNA. We will not debase ourselves like barnyard animals. I do.
Until you get stung by a...
like some beast in a stable or a zoo. The denizens flinging poo in the primate house. We are dignified beings with self-control, not hobos in boxcars. But that's just me. As for the residual fungus in my shower, Steph, could you do it? Suppose you're walking the dogs in the neighborhood one day and just pop in. I'll leave the back door unlocked. I don't know how you usually work the arrangements, but I'll leave you a couple bucks in an envelope. I'll tape the envelope to the toilet tank. You know what a toilet is, right? Thanks. And my regards to your uninitiated house guest. I don't go pee in David Bender's shower. I have my own shower I'm peeing in. Ew. He's in the guest quarters over there.
Right by the bridle path?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. By the aviary. All right. We have a... we have a quick one from Stuart in Seattle. Hello, Stuart. You're on the Stephanie.
Hello, Stephanie. I was appalled to hear that congressman saying it's still okay to have nuclear power. Right. Nuclear power is nothing more than delayed mass murder. And why do we have nuclear power? It's because the abuser-controller class that controls our government insists on centralized power. And because they always have been able to externalize the most of the environmental and social costs of their business.
Yeah, they all live upstream.
All right, Captain Buzzkill. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative John Yarmuth next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't want women like that. I want
Stephanie Miller.
You got a room full of chicks like that, and you're thinking about
Stephanie Miller.
She looks like someone farted in a shoe.
It's
entirely possible.
34 minutes after the hour, you've just missed an entire commercial break of Hal mocking my paper calendar that I got at my optician where they made my reading glasses.
I got little stickers that I could put dental appointment on there, and has a little picture of teeth. And then I got another sticker that when it's time to wash the car, that has a little car with a little gleam on it. And then I have a marmot sticker. And
someone in the chat room said when I cut and paste, I literally have to cut and paste.
Yeah.
Literally scissors and glue.
You have to cut something and use paste.
Mm.
Yes.
Is there a carbonite for that?
I don't know. I'm sure they'll invent it. Mm. All right. One of our very personal favorites. Great things come from Kentucky. Bourbon, Hal Sparks, and, of course, Representative John Yarmuth, who joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. I'm not sure what I've gotten myself into.
you would never come on the show if you actually listened to it. This now,
and you had no idea another Kentuckian would actually be on the air.
Thanks, Hal. I'm glad you're there.
Yes. And ditto, my friend.
Congressman, you have a bill, I understand, that has a radical idea. It would actually make millionaires and billionaires pay their fair share of taxes.
Well, exactly. Jan Schakowsky actually is the lead member on this, but this is something I've talked about for a while and actually raised last year in the Means Committee, the idea that we should actually raise the rate on people making $1 million a year or more. Yeah, just a radical idea. This actually has a staged rate. It makes it progressive, even a new rate for people making over $1 billion a year or more. And what we have is no tax rate now that should change after about $370,000 a year.
I certainly hope it includes money for better cell phones for members of Congress. No offense to you, sir.
So you're having trouble with mine now?
That's okay. Yeah. That's okay.
It's all right. He's probably behind a hill. We had the same problem when I lived in Kentucky.
But So the rate on the 400 wealthiest families in the United States, who average $350 million a year in income, is 16.6%.
Wow. Congressman, it must make you crazy, this whole budget battle going on, when, you know, you can see what a huge difference that would make if, you know, we would just make millionaires and billionaires pay their fair share. I mean, the kind of cuts they're talking about, and I think you made the point the other day, you said these are cuts that have a serious impact on the most vulnerable populations of the country. On the other hand, you say there's no cuts made in subsidies to oil companies, coal companies, or any change in the wealthy. We haven't even made life inconvenient for the wealthiest Americans, and yet we've asked the most vulnerable to sacrifice a lot, and it's going to kill jobs, as you also pointed out.
Exactly, and I'll give you a perfect example. 2 weeks ago, we have a Raytheon facility. Raytheon's a defense contractor, and Raytheon laid off 51 people 2 weeks ago, and their explanation was it wasn't because they didn't have current work for them. They were anticipating budget cuts in defense budgets, and so that's what we're faced. These have real implications in the real world, and people who try to separate the government sector, the public sector, from the private sector don't really have an understanding of how things work. Those are private sector jobs, but because of government threatened, and these cuts weren't even in any of the proposed cuts. They laid off people.
This is your colleague, of course, Representative Hal Rogers, Republican.
Yes, it's a terrible way to do business. This should be the last CR extension that we pass.
Yeah, of course, they mean it should be the last one we pass before we just take a meat axe, to, you know, as they want to do, and the Tea Party is pressuring them to do, right?
Well, exactly, and this is a religious crusade for a lot of these members. You know, normally, if you're just talking about dollars, compromise is pretty easy. You say, okay, but we want this much, split the difference, or let's meet in the middle. Well, they don't. This is not with them. You know, my other senator, Rand Paul, just proposed cutting $200 billion. From the budget. And these are numbers that have, again, real-world implications. There's one estimate from Mark Zandi, the
Oh, boy. That phone is really breaking up.
700,000 jobs.
Congressman, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, let's try one more. One thing you said terrified me. You said they also seem to not really care much about politics, which in one sense is respectable, but it's also a factor that makes it more difficult to compromise. You predict a slightly better than 50% chance that you'll reach a budget deal that avoids a shutdown. You said it's a choice between dramatic cuts and potentially derail the economic recovery or moderate cuts that help us set a clear path to fiscal stability. But, I mean, I think what you're saying is this is a hill that they're going to die on, the Tea Party.
Exactly. They came here again. This is kind of a religious war for them, and they put themselves in a position where they don't really care whether they get reelected or not. They came here to drown government in the bathtub, as Grover Norquist once said, and that makes it very hard to come to reasonable compromises.
Yep.
I
got to have your reaction, one other, from your colleague, Mike Simpson, Republican of Idaho.
They left the American people in this country with this pile of crap. They should not complain about how we try to clean this up.
Oh, they mean the Bush administration?
No, the Obama administration left. Yes, you guys. Yeah.
Well, I think some of the economic analyses of that said that out of the $1.5 trillion that the annual deficit now, about 1.1 or 1.2 trillion was because of the Bush tax cuts, the wars, and the unfunded prescription drug mandate.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually did, maybe we passed along the crap that the Bush administration left us, but we didn't create it.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky. Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right.
Thanks,
there he goes.
John.
You know exactly what mountain he's driving by. That's
absolutely.
That service
he's
there.
Down there by Owenton, man. You got to watch out down there. You ain't going to get any reception. By the way, this is a report on John Ross story. Survey shows upbeat look for U.S. millionaires. More than 4 in 10 American millionaires say they, A, need now $7.5 million to feel wealthy.
Yes.
And they feel really
good
about that.
$7 million? No, that's not enough. Mm-hmm. No.
Well, even John McCain said $5 million. You know, that's how you know somebody's rich. They've got $5 million in the bank in cash. Sitting on it. Right. Okay.
All right. The boner on the continuing resolution.
I want to get the long-term continuing resolution over as soon as possible. But I'm not going to negotiate with myself.
Because I get to the bars.
Because he's a tough negotiator and he'd make himself cry.
I'm just a tough negotiator. I just make myself so sad. I can't believe I said that to myself.
Don't I know I'm sensitive?
I gotta get to the tavern.
What are you doing? I'm kicking my ass. Do you mind?
Yeah, he's like Jim Carrey. Yeah, right. All right, right-wing tool Mike Pence.
I think it's time to take a stand for taxpayers and for future generations.
Of whom? Basically, all the cuts you're making almost guarantee that there'll be fewer and fewer people paying taxes in the future. And I mean alive. I don't mean...
Yeah. Representative Nancy Pelosi talking about the budget.
We can cut in a way that does not undermine our values. It's not about, again, about money. It's about the morality of what we are doing.
And of course, earlier she was mocked in right-wing world, as we know, for saying that this is it. Yeah. How does cutting
morals?
Everything Why for poor people and kids, where that's,
morals.
Huh? Jim Moran, Democrat
French?
Of Virginia.
This is no way to run a government. Lurching back and forth like a drunken sailor. The agency's not knowing when or whether they're going to get their money.
I know he's talking about me, the drunken sailor. I wore a sailor suit when I was a little kid.
I wasn't drunk when I wore that sailor suit. I was just having a good time. And it was a pirate outfit that won.
And it was Fleet Week. Can you blame me?
Did Boner go all Patsy from MFAB? Uh-huh. Who are you calling? Drunk! All right. School boards and local governments across Wisconsin are rushing to reach agreements with unions before a new law takes effect that will remove their ability to collectively bargain over nearly all issues other than minimal salary increases. The Secretary of State, Doug La Follette, I believe his name is, said he decided to delay publication of the law till the latest date possible, March 25th, to give those local governments as much time as possible. Of course, Governor Wanker had asked him to publish the law Monday. The Democratic Secretary of State called the new law the biggest change in labor management history in 50 years and said he didn't see any emergency that warranted him doing that. La Follette said he had heard from many schools, cities, and counties urging him to delay enactment of the law as long as possible. Mm-hmm. The law also obviously being challenged in court, and they have a big Supreme Court election coming up. What is it, Chris? We're having Joanne Kloppenburg on
the week after vacation.
We are on vacation next week, and we'll have her on the week after that. And that election is so important; it could flip this whole law because it would flip the balance on the Supreme Court there. So, anyway, so there, harumph.
So
the fight has just begun.
Well, and then the recall effort. I mean, you guys, I'm sure, talk about Randy Hopper, the Wisconsin.
His wife signed the recall.
But
of him.
Finally. But I love the part in the article where it says his wife intends to sign the article. The family's maid already has. She had already beat the wife to it.
Wow.
What kind of shenanigans are going on where the maid is like, he never calls anymore. Now he's living. She's as cast aside as the wife is.
Interesting.
Yeah, curious that, don't you think?
Mm. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal.
Full service maid.
Right, yeah. Hello.
What?
Stephanie
what?
Miller Show has no information about that. We're just saying. Right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, this is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. Oh, just what I need. I have you three mooks to constantly correct my pronunciations. Now Rachel Maddow's daddy has called to correct me. It's Bob La Follette.
La Follette. He pronounces it on the first syllable.
La Follette.
In French, it's La Follette.
You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Not everybody's daughter can be a Rhodes Scholar, Bob.
Yeah.
But I am Woman of the Year, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. I have my little paltry award.
Woman of the Year, 1926. Mm-hmm. President Harding has awarded Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. She's ahead of our time. She's actually for 2035, if we're still around.
Where's Jim's old-time radio music? All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to present to you
old-timey radio star Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller. That's right, who's won Woman of the Year. That's right. Now that women have the vote, they're more than happy to accept rewards. This one can be heated up and used as an iron, which is great in the kitchen for someone like Stephanie, who is living in cohabitation with her gayish husband, David Bender, who walks around in her house
cooking
Cornish game hens.
To brown her Cornish game hens tonight. All right.
Someone's eating all the tapioca again. Oh, David.
When she's not dancing to the dramatic musical stylings of Les Paul and his band of... Not Les Paul.
She made a brief run at the talkies, which went disastrous. Actually, she went back to radio.
The talkies
right, thank you.
Weren't around yet.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Okay.
Was Harding in 26 or
something? It's this year. I'm 2011's Woman of the Year. I'll have you know. Harumph! I'll be on the fainting couch. Plop.
I have the vapor.
Call me on my 1940s telephone if you want to apologize. Hmm. All right.
Hello? Hello? Holy smokes, this thing works.
You know what? David Bender will be in tomorrow, and he can confirm in his guest bedroom there is a giant rotary telephone.
Wow.
Hello?
David! Who's there? Stop tormenting me!
We've only been married for 2 days. I made him go get half and half, and I made him load the dishwasher.
Wow.
And he actually went above and beyond. He actually did dishes. Yeah. He didn't just put them in the dishwasher.
Wow.
It was very touching.
He loaded the dishwasher with half and half.
I put out immediately.
You live high
on the
hog.
He didn't like it, but I put out. And he's...
What?
What? Aaron in San Pedro writes, Steph and the Mooks, this is probably inappropriate, but shouldn't there be a big lizard, dragon, Godzilla, or Mothra popping up about now? Yes, that is inappropriate. That is inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. I think right about now a big monster pops out of Tokyo Bay or so. Yeah, actually, that's what we were saying is because this does have, it is almost unreal. Somebody was saying it looks like Armageddon, the movie, or computer games they've seen, or, I mean, it literally is almost unimaginable.
Yes.
The earthquake, then the tsunami, now the nuclear crisis.
Right.
I mean, it's yeah.
But again...
And we can't even watch the video of the dogs. The one dog won't leave the other sick dog's side, and it's just, oh, God.
Don't even bring up the picture of the panda clinging to the zookeeper's leg because it's scared.
Oh, boy.
Or the lovely old lady with her hand being rubbed by the lady who's trying to make her feel better.
Oh, yes, you told me about that one. Oh, boy. All right, the headline is, just to lighten things up, fun sack, a snake bites model's breast, a snake dies of silicone poisoning.
Oh, no.
I call bullcrap.
Yeah.
An Israeli model was cuddling with a snake for a segment on Spanish TV when things went south. The reptile attacked her silicone-implanted breast. While the snake apparently wasn't poisonous, the same can't be said of the model. The snake is muerta.
Why didn't Moses think of that? Or what if Pharaoh had silicone breasts at the time? Right. He throws down his staff, it turns into a snake, bites Pharaoh right on the...
Now, I don't know if this happened on the Progressive Cruise, but this is a dolphin-watching trip. Dolphin jumps onto the deck of the boat and injures a woman. A dolphin weighing between 600 and 700 pounds jumped onto the deck of a boat. The woman suffered a sprained ankle. She's fine, but that's... I mean, if you want to see whales or dolphins,
that's impressive.
Yes.
And the dolphin is suing. So
right.
Obviously, he's a better lawyer than the woman.
I'm just saying, now there's going to be a new standard for dolphin and whale watching trips.
Right. The woman sprained an ankle. What happened to the fins and the dolphin? Is it okay? How'd they get it off? It's a 700-pound
Jim,
animal.
You remember the story. Remember we did that many years ago? It just sticks in the head for some reason. There was a... whale watching trip during whale mating season, and a woman was crushed by a giant whale penis.
Mm.
The whale turned over, and
wow.
That's
what a way to go.
Well, that would be like Chuckles the Clown funeral on Mary Tyler Moore. It would be hard to
dial back
keep
5 years. She's sitting in a bar going, "Size does matter," and the irony that years later.
See, the funny thing there is that.
You know what I mean? You think she's
thinking
for
a death like that. I hope for a funny death. That's all. I'm just saying.
You got to go somehow. Why not? Yeah.
Yes.
Blaze of glory.
Yes.
Or.
I want you
blaze
to give a eulogy. I want you to have to stand up and say.
Kind of want a YouTube clip.
We are
I'm not
gathered
lie.
Here because Stephanie was crushed by a giant whale penis.
Right. Or she had a cute attack while being overrun by marmosets and. In little sailor outfits.
Yes! That would be awesome!
Little marmoset pirates.
While someone played, Alfred Hitchcock style, played like I'm a Little Teapot with Shirley Temple singing it really, really loud as she was attacked by marmosets.
Will you promise me you'll do the eulogy as Ruth Gordon, please?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, who couldn't see this?
Ha-cha-cha. Yeah. Here lies Stephanie Miller.
Okay, thank you. All right.
We'll write up a whole
thing. Who couldn't see this coming after leaving the Senate because of too much partisanship? Evan Bayh takes a job at Fox News. Yeah. Where they love a liberal that will bash other liberals.
That's fantastic. It's like a jerk receptacle. When you're done, that's where you chuck what's left of this flaccid skin of a politician that's left over from his complete crap record, can go and just dangle, just wag him about like the Skeletor of
like
Alan Combs.
Bag of old political dildos.
Yes, right.
That's
right.
From a story earlier in the show.
Jim knows enough about
it. It's time for another edition of Fox Maps. Did Fox News misidentify a Japanese nightclub as a nuclear power plant? Why, it looks...
Yes, that's yes.
Wow.
What?
Oh, boy.
Okay. What?
All right. Oh, dear. I don't. Some of these headlines I don't even want to. Kansas GOPer, let's shoot illegal immigrants like pigs. Kansas State Representative Virgil Peck.
How's that whole pro-life thing working out for you?
Suggested Monday the best way to deal with the illegal immigration problem may be the same way the state might deal with the problem with feral hogs. By shooting them from a helicopter.
Oh, my God.
Some of these things you think are just... Is that an onion headline, or is that an actual human? A human said that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's debatable, but... Mm. Man.
Okay. By the way, Newt Gingrich says NAFTA worked because it created jobs in Mexico.
Mexico, right?
Oh, great.
Yeah. He was responding to a caller who said NAFTA killed American jobs. He didn't disagree, but he retorted by touting the fact that NAFTA had created jobs... close to the United States,
Mexico. Like it's a bad thing, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly.
Mm. Mm. Frankly. He said, I'd rather have jobs close to the United States than have jobs overseas.
Yeah, so you can just see somebody else doing your job with binoculars as opposed to having to
read
about it on the internet.
As long as you're paying them crap money, frankly.
All right, that's it for us. Oh, Valerie Plame booked for Friday.
Nice.
Another big show tomorrow. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.